Are you carrying a burden you weren't meant to? Pastor Dave suggests roll it over to Jesus.
You and I were carrying burdens. We've got a load. Now, most of the load, according to Jesus, if it's not easy and it's not light, it's something we've taken on that he didn't want us to. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you go, man, mine isn't. Well, then it's not the one that God put on you. And what he is saying here is, as Peter said, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Jesus is saying, roll it over onto me. It's easy for me. It's too heavy for you.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshiped and exalted here today.
Let's face it, life just doesn't seem fair at times. You didn't get that job promotion you thought you deserved. Or your family seems to be going through more suffering than your ungodly neighbors down the street. Or perhaps you look around and see all the injustice taking place on a global level. Today on The Balanced Word, we come to Psalm 37, where David is dealing with the reality of life not being fair. Pastor Dave Roth also sees some marvelous principles in this psalm, which will help us respond in a Christ-like fashion when things just aren't going the way we want them to.
Have you ever gone somewhere where it was just a little over the top in terms of, man, this is the life, this is luxurious? You always plan things in your house that are going to be that way. You know, when you buy the jacuzzi tub, you think that you're going to always just be laying in that and, oh, it's going to be so luxurious. But, you know, you don't use it for a little while, and then you fill the tub and you turn on the jets and bugs come out of the jets, and it's just like, this doesn't work quite this way. Plus, there's something about somebody else setting the tub up and having it perfect. It's not as much all the bending over and everything. Really, those tubs aren't everything that they're cracked up to be. But if you go somewhere and it's like, wow, this is great. I don't even have to lift a finger. This is luxury. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, if you're trusting in him, now what you need to do is to discover the pleasure and the benefits and the luxury of what it is to walk with the Lord. As you're feeding on his faithfulness and his truth, as you're looking for what he's doing, now you can just lay back and go, oh man, this is the life. This is a good life. Now, often when we see people that have it better than we do, especially wicked people, it's so hard to look at our cheesy life and go, wow, this is the life. But you know, we are so blessed. We're so spoiled. God has given us so much more than most of the world. Most of the world, you know, there are people starving. In fact, your house, as dirty and run down as it is, and things maybe need to be done on it, and you're frustrated with it, why don't you compare to the people who just had a hurricane come blow through their neighborhood and level their house and go, man, my house is, they would consider your house luxury. It's appreciating, as we see what God has done, enjoy what he has given you. The Bible says that God has given us everything to enjoy. You shouldn't feel guilty about being blessed, but you also shouldn't grade it on the curve so you're always kind of bummed that you don't quite have what somebody else has. Instead, go, I have so much more than I deserve. And for most of us, we can say, man, I sure have a lot more than I used to have. And I sure have a lot more than I could have. If I got everything I deserved, I wouldn't be nearly as well off as I am right now. Appreciate the luxury that's around you and enjoy it in him. Realize this is God's way of communicating to you. It's his kindness that brings us to repentance. He's been good to us. He has spoiled us as his children, and he did it deliberately. So often we see people, you know, the spoiled trust fund kids and look down our nose at them. But the truth is, if you had the ability to spoil your kids, and most of us do, you'd of course do it. You love your kids. And before you get too hard on that, just realize how much God spoils us, how much he gives us just to enjoy, how much he does for us that's so extra from what we would really need. It's just true. And so David, reminding his listeners to delight themselves in the Lord, to take the opportunity to just go, God's doing some things for us just for me to enjoy it. Now, what a crummy thing if you pour luxury on someone and they just don't appreciate it. You decided, you know, what these people would need. It'd be great for them to go on a cruise and just to enjoy being pampered. And so you buy them a cruise and you give them a gift certificate for the spa to get all the those weird treatments of smearing things on you and getting a massage and things like that. And you go, you know, you're just going to be pampered. And so they go and do it, and you go, well, how did it go? And they say, you know, the food just, it's so annoying when they give you so many choices for food. And it's just hard to pick, and so I pretty much ate off the kids' meal or ate at the pizzeria. And you go, oh, well, how was everything else? Well, you know, I'm just not comfortable with people doing fancy things for me, so it was kind of frustrating. And the boat, it was on the water, and it rocked kind of, and that got kind of sickening. And, you know, I tried the spa, but it was just a bunch of hoity-toity snobs there. I didn't want to participate in that. And so, to be honest with you, it just felt good to get off the boat. And you go, man, you missed it. You missed what a cruise is supposed to be about. And I believe that we do that to the Lord when he blesses us, and he gives us so much, and we don't appreciate it. I've said before what a crime it is that God has plopped you here in Orange County and you've got this incredible coastline that's like 4 miles away and you don't bother going to look at it, just to sit and look at it. You've got that sand, but your feet have never been in it. Oh yeah, I'd never live away from the ocean, but I don't want to go to the ocean either. Do you realize most of this country lives in places like Kansas? It's like... And we're sitting there going, yeah, but in Orange County, property's so expensive. Who cares, man? If you're a bum living under a tree in Orange County, the beach is still there. You can enjoy it. You can enjoy so much else that God does. But we just go, I don't know. You know, I've been here a lot, and I just can't wait to move somewhere else or to go someplace else. And God would say to you, you're surrounded with luxury. I'm blessing you. Delight in me. Enjoy what I have done for you. And then he says that amazing thing. If you luxuriate, if you delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Wow. And there are people who preach this positive confession gospel that says if you name it, you can claim it, you can have it and all that stuff. And we rightfully say, no, it's not just all about being selfish. It's not all about material blessing and things like that. And yet we throw the baby out with the bathwater because we go, no, we're not like them. But the truth is, this is what it says. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Now, don't allow someone who takes one piece of theology and twists it to rob you of the blessings that God has for you. And he says he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, when he says that, he'll give you the desires of your heart. There are two aspects of that. There are some things that you've always just been wanting. You've had a desire for them. It's just something that always sounded like it would be a blessing for you. And you want it. And you know, I believe that a lot of those things that you've been dreaming about, God's going to bring them to pass in his timing. He is going to give you exactly what you've wanted. In fact, he will give you more than you could ever dream of, ask, or think. But the other side of this equation is he also has the ability to cause you to want those things that he has given you or is going to give you. And we find out that his plan for us was much better than the plan we had for ourselves. And I don't really care which one it is. If there's something I desire and he wants to give it to me, hey, great. But if there's something that he wants me to have that's better than that and he just causes me to want that, to give me that desire, and then it's fulfilled, that's awesome too. Either way, ultimately, that satisfaction of being able to say, like David did in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. It's a key to, as we trust in him and settle down where we are, now we go, let's enjoy what we have. And then God works in our heart, and he gives us a desire for something that we didn't even want, and now we're excited to have it, even whether that's something that we thought we didn't want. Or he fulfills our requests and our dreams by answering our prayers and giving us what we've desired. Only time will tell whether that desire is from him, and the way it tells is whether he provides that, what we've desired, or whether he takes away the desire. There are plenty of things I've prayed for that I'm glad God didn't give me. Plenty of things I wanted him to do that later I decided that wouldn't be such a good idea. And I'm thankful for those times when God knows better than I do and takes away the desire for something that I thought I wanted. And instead, he gives me the desire for what I already have or for what he is going to give me. Delighting in him and the desires of our heart being fulfilled. And then the next step, he says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he'll bring it to pass. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Commit your way to the Lord. The Hebrew word there for commit is to roll it on to somebody. And so it's saying, take your everything that you have and roll it on to the Lord. And then he promises that if you do that and you trust him, he's going to take care of it. See, in those days, most of the time, when you were carrying a burden, they would carry huge burdens. And if you've been other places in the world, you've seen people carrying huge burdens. Now, I'm not talking about our idea of a burden is 8 plastic grocery bags or something like that, and we're moving them from the car. Now, these people will carry hundreds of pounds of sticks or grain or other things, and they load it up on their shoulders or on their head. And if you get to the point where you need to take a break, you have to just put it down. And the hardest thing is putting it down and picking it up again because you have to bend over, squat down in order to do it. Once you get it up there, it's not too bad. But what they would do is so that you don't have that additional effort is that if someone can come alongside you, you can roll the load over onto them. And that's much easier than you putting it down and then picking it up. The imagery here is you and I were carrying burdens. We've got a load. Now, most of the load, according to Jesus, if it's not easy and it's not light, it's something we've taken on that he didn't want us to. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you go, man, mine isn't. Well, then it's not the one that God put on you. And what he is saying here is, as Peter said, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Jesus is saying, roll it over onto me. It's easy for me. It's too heavy for you. Let me do this, he's saying. And so David is saying, you know, the burdens that you're carrying that are causing you to be frustrated and confused, that are causing you to be overwhelmed and feel like life isn't fair, roll it over onto him. Allow him to carry it. Allow him to take it. It's hard for us to admit that it's too heavy for us. It's hard for us to accept the fact that I don't think I can do this. But what do we do when we realize we can't do it? Usually we'll just go try to dump it off on somebody else, whether they want it or not. Someone in our family has to hear about it. Our friends, they just call up to say hi and and they're going like, wait a minute, this is too heavy for me too. Why should I have to carry this? Sorry, tag, you're it. You know, find somebody else to give it to. It's your problem now. And so many of us who care about others, we take on their burdens. We say wrongfully, you know what, roll it off on me. I'll take it. But God says, roll it off on me. Let me have it. And if you do that, I'll take care of it. Oh, how important it is that we learn as we trust in God and we're delighting in him that the thing that's slowing us down so often is stuff that we never should have picked up in the first place. Taking responsibility that God hasn't given us. This is such a habitual pattern. There are some people who feel responsible for everything and everyone. Oh, they look on TV and see that, oh, there's people who are suffering. I need to do something about it. Well, wait a minute. That's great that you want to do that, but is this really something that God is telling you to do? Well, it doesn't matter. It's a big burden, and therefore, I need to do it. Oh, there are people in your family who have problems. Well, they're my family. Of course, it's my burden. Of course, it's my problem. No, not unless God says, here, this is easy. This is light. Let me give this to you. More often than not, what we do as human beings is we wear ourselves out and we wear those around us out by exchanging burdens, by rolling our burdens off on others. The place to commit your ways to is the Lord. He is the one who wants to remove the burden. Well, if you do that, you have to trust him. I'm not sure if I want to let go of what I'm dealing with, but he goes, you've got to do it. It's the next step. Do you trust him? Great. Are you starting to enjoy being a Christian? That's good. Delighting in the Lord, he's going to fulfill you. But now, to come to the point where you just go, okay, God, I'll let go of this. I'll roll it off on you. I'll commit it to you. And if you do that, he will come through. And then finally in verse 7, the last step, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret because of the one who prospers is a creep, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Don't fret. It only hurts. It only causes more damage. He goes on to say, don't worry, those evildoers, they're going to get theirs. Everyone that you think is taking advantage of the system, everyone that's abusing others in order to get what they have, they will have their day. But he says, for you, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret. That word there for rest in the Lord is actually the Hebrew word that means to be mute. It means be a person who can't say anything. It's a word that came to mean take it easy. But it really, most literally, you could translate it, shut up. If you're trusting God, shut up and wait for him to work. You don't need to keep running your mouth. You go, yeah, Dave, we get the point. Will you let us go? No, not just a couple minutes. But so often, when things aren't the way we want them to be, we just need to talk about it. And you know that dreaded feeling when someone, you kind of vaguely have a sense maybe that with your spouse or with a friend or with some, you know, that they say, can we talk? And usually, can we talk doesn't mean, I want to tell you how blessed I am by life. Can we talk usually means, can I tell you what's wrong? It's like if after a message, sometimes somebody will come up and go, do you have a few minutes? I'm like, something tells me this isn't good news. Now, I'm not telling you not to do that, because there are times when communication and when we need to share each other's burdens, there's a time for bearing one another's burden. I don't want to toss all that out. But his point here is, as we are allowing God, trusting him to really be the one to take care of things, sometimes the best thing we can do is just to shut up, is just to rest, to realize, oh, okay, I guess if I can't fix it, and if God isn't fixing it right now, then I guess it's not a problem. I suppose he wants to work in some way through it. Oh man, there have been times in my life when I said something I wish I hadn't. There are fewer times when I wanted to say something and didn't and then thought I should have spoken up. Most of the time, we will err on the side of saying things. And what that is it creates a whole other burden. You take a small problem and you magnify it. You fret and worry and you make it a lot worse. And he's saying, you know what, look, if you trust God, if you're enjoying him, luxuriating in him, delighting in him, and you're committing your ways to him and rolling it off on him, then just be quiet. Rest in him. As I've said so many times before, and God reminds me of this picture, this image again and again, the story of the disciples in the boat. Waves are coming up over the sides of the boat, and Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. And when the disciples saw Jesus sleeping, they believed something's desperately wrong. We've got to wake him up. No, if Jesus is sleeping, this is a good time to sleep. It's nap time. So often we feel like, but God, you've got to work. Not necessarily. He knows what he's doing. How about resting in him? How about just going, you know, I guess when he wants to deal with this, he will. And it's a part of learning to be satisfied where we are, accepting our circumstances and understanding that for some reason, God has me exactly where I need to be right now. And I'll accept that. And if God wants to leave me here for the rest of my life in this exact circumstance, or even if he wants it to be worse, that's okay. My rest is in him. My luxury depends on him. My decision is for him to be the one to carry my load. And I'm trusting him. And I believe that he knows what he's doing. And for all of us, that question is something that, well, only you can ask it for yourself. Do you trust God? If you wonder whether or not you're really trusting in him, ask yourself if you feel like you're surrounded by luxury. Are you enjoying him? Is life fun? Do you feel spoiled by God? If not, back up. Trust him. If you're trusting him and you're seeing the joy, then you're going to learn to dump the load off. And ultimately, you'll know how to rest. A restless life, a life that just can't have peace, a life that is a frenzy of activity, is a life that's not trusting in God. It's living life believing that you're holding it together. As I was sharing with someone on the radio program the other day, I think this is what the Sabbath was about. to a great extent. It was telling people sometimes you just have to let go. Sometimes you just need to take a day off. Now, people who advocate Sabbath worship nowadays, I think, miss the whole point of the Sabbath. The Sabbath for the Jews and for us wasn't about having a day to go to church. It was about having a day to not do anything. And it's so hard for us to not do anything, to let go. I believe it's also why God commands us to give our offerings to Him, to contribute from our resources to help others and to support ministry. It's not because He needs the money. It's because He knows that when we let go of our money, something happens inside. We realize that He's trustworthy, as with our time, as with everything else in our lives. And so you look around and the world may not be the way you want it to be, but settle down and enjoy it and see God's hand in it. Rest in Him. Shut up and let Him be God. Resign your position as God's right-hand person. And instead just go, wow, there's not much pressure on me. If there is pressure, roll it off. It's not what He wants you to carry. And we live the blessed life of being His spoiled children, of being those who He has showered so much on us. And we go, but can we do something? Can we do something? He goes, no, not right now. Why don't you just take it easy? Why don't you just rest? He wants us to hear that. He wants us to understand that. And when we do, we realize that all those people that we thought needed to get theirs, they'll get theirs. Don't worry. It's under His control. He knows what He's doing. And how great it is to know that our main responsibility on this earth is to enjoy Him, is to love Him, is to let Him be God, is to just appreciate what He is doing for us.
You're listening to The Balanced Word as Pastor Dave Rolfe has been highlighting the 37th Psalm for us, a portion of Scripture that really helps us travel through life when it doesn't seem fair. Pastor Dave will be back in a moment. Stick around. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go Through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Here now to lead us in prayer, our teacher once again, Pastor Dave Rolfe.
Lord, with all You've done for us, it's just crazy that we don't trust You. And with the fact that You can do whatever You want, it's even doubly crazy that we don't trust You because we have no choice. But we insist on fretting. We insist on worrying and dreaming and fantasizing and hoping and praying for things to be different. And Lord, You've put us exactly where You want us. Help us to accept that and to find the blessings in that. If You want to take us somewhere else, we're ready to move. But in the meantime, Lord, where You have us right now, we want to make the best of it. And we want to learn to be content where we are. And how You deal with everyone else, that's not our business. So God, just be God and do what You do. And we'll try to do what we can do without forcing it, without striving. And Lord, as much as is within us, when we open our mouth, we will try to make it that we open our mouth so that we can express our gratefulness to all that You've done for us. We'll try to quit griping. We're trying to quit acting like you haven't done anything for us. You've done so much for us. We live lives of luxury because of you. Lord, help us to just enjoy that and be okay with that. Oh God, we thank you for being the kind of God who can carry our load. We desire to have the freedom to enjoy you. Help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks again, Pastor Dave. And thank you, friend, for listening to The Balanced Word with Dave Raw, a daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say.